What role do you think the UNESCO's Creative City Network can play at this moment and after the pandemic ends?
COVID-19 is truly, and we think that's the first global crisis, and one that we must all face together at the same time. In mid-March, the UNESCO Creative Cities launched a call to all its 246 members cities, asking them to share how they were using culture and creativity to respond to COVID-19. And we have some good examples, you know. For example, in Rome, that's a UNESCO Creative City of Film, images and clips of films are being projected on building facades.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Curitiba, Brazil, that's another design creative city, is producing 3D printed face shields to protect health professionals working in the city. So that's only two examples of how we can share these or many other creative initiatives online. And already some of them have been adopted by cities throughout the world. So I believe this shows that the strength of Creative Cities Network as a platform for international exchange is very important, but also for times like this that we are living. For the post-crisis phase, we will also need to build on the power of the cities and culture to help them recover, both economically, and that's very important, but also socially. The Creative Cities Network will continue to develop projects and initiatives and create new energies between cities and other sectors with the goal of supporting economic recovery and social cohesion through culture.
And during the pandemic, we have also observed a trend of art and cultural events going online, such as many museums have launched virtual tours, and UNESCO has also partnered with Google to do online exhibitions of its World Heritage Sites. Could you please share with us more details? And what's your views on arts and culture going virtual? And do you think it will be a trend in the future?
Yes, it's complicated, you know, because as part of our wider campaign that we launched 2 weeks ago, Share Culture, Share Our Heritage, UNESCO has been happy to partner, for example, with Google Arts and Culture on an online exhibition of World Heritage Sites. More than 60 World Heritage Sites are proposed to be visited by everybody. The idea was providing access to these sites online. We think that it's more important than ever. Right now, we have the statistic that 90% of all countries around the world have either closed completely or partially their World Heritage properties. So we decided to go through a new platform also of debates and a movement that is called Resiliat, that we launched last week. And that's with many intergovernmental organizations and Minister of Culture that we have been raising debates and dialogues to try to accelerate, and that's a positive part of the digitalization of the culture, but because it will, at the end, protecting the diversity of humanity's cultural expression. We need also to address that the digital gap between developed and developing country. We have a lot of countries in the south that doesn't have this connection
mm-hmm.
to have this online view or journey that the node can have. So we have to find ways of breaking down this gap that we have, also between men and women. You know that there's a lot of country where women have more problem to access to Wi-Fi. So in the digital environment, we also have to ensure, and that's important, that artists and creators are fairly remunerated.
UNESCO has just organized a virtual forum for culture ministers. What did you discuss and what are the findings?
Yes, you know, we organized last year in November, after 21 years, there was a forum of ministers of culture. And for this challenging time, we decided to reunite all the ministers of culture. We had more than 140 ministers of culture. For us, it was like a marathon. It was 7 hours and 25 minutes of online meeting. And we have more than 121 ministers or vice ministers who spoke in this meeting. It was more to share what was the response that each country, each minister of culture has been proposing and taking care, because most of this country, more than 100 of the 140 that were present, are right now with all the institutions closed. So the crisis in the sector of culture for professional technicians, site managers, will be very, very hard when we go out the confinement. And in all these countries, if you see, the last economical sector that will regain to the normality will be the cultural sector. So it was the first step with all these ministers to speak, to hear them. So we've seen the good part with technological issues and digital platforms, but at the same time, we are preparing ourselves to give response for all the member states to find some good solution for artists and public policy culture.
The UNESCO has talked about the concept of resilient art on this year's World Art Day. So in your opinion, how can art and culture to be more resilient to withstand crises like this? And what lessons can we learn from it?
Yes, thank you for this question. You know that when we decided to launch the resilient debate on Wednesday, what we're trying to do is how we make up a large segment of the sector labor force that are limited to access to social protection mechanisms or to cultural entrepreneurs and small and medium-sized enterprises that are very vulnerable. And in this time of COVID-19, they are more vulnerable than ever. So what we try to do is to create a platform where in each country, at the level that they decided, if they want to do it in the very local perspective in a city, artists that get together online and share what is happening around them, we can somehow leverage these voices to the national ministerial level and to ensure that it can be measured as a bottom-up reflection and to ensure that all the voices of the creators, of the academics, and all the workers of the culture sector and the heritage sector for sure, can be heard also by authorities, and somehow to build for the first time, and that was it was so important, to ensure that everybody recognized the artists are playing a very big role right now, and somehow to ensure that everything that they have given us during this time can somehow be reflected also in the solutions that the government will have to take after the confinement and to ensure that post-COVID-19, they will be also part of the solution and they will also give some answers to find a way to recover everything that was lost during all these months.